Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Friday. It's been a long month today. It is the 6th of August, 2021. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, happy Friday, everyone.
Now, I know you've popped up on non-Friday editions of the show, and we had to sort of talk people down from that, but this is the one where we freak everybody out. So here you go. We're just going to get right to it, because the first thing we have is a quick PSA for all you crypto fans out there.
Right. So this is from Sophos. Their researchers have been following this piece of malware called Raccoon Stealer for a while. It's interesting because they say it's sold as a service instead of a piece of standalone malware, so it gets updated continually.
Wonderful. And
they say it can collect passwords, cookies, and the autofill text for websites, which can include credit card data or other information stored on the browser. But a recent update means that it can now target your cryptocurrency wallets and also retrieve or drop files on infected systems. So if you have a crypto wallet, this is just another thing to be aware of.
Yeah. And that's basically what we're talking about here, is just if you have one, this is probably, hopefully, this is something you're already aware of. It would be nice if that were the case. But if you do have a crypto wallet, or maybe you have like an inactive one, you know, you set it up, you know, a year ago or whatever, and haven't really thought about it much since, this is something that could have longer term effects for you. So definitely keep an eye out. If you ever had a crypto wallet, like, go take a look and make sure this isn't happening.
I assume maybe this refers to like crypto wallet, like I think some of them are offered as browser extensions. Mm-hmm. So if it can collect all their browser information, that's probably why.
Yeah, that would definitely
be where it's coming from.
Yeah, and this is another reason it's good to check the access level of browser extensions that you install. So just to make sure that they're only accessing the stuff that they need and no more than that. So that's always a good thing to check. So now on to one of our beloved sections of the program. This week in data breach, well, data leaks. This week in data leaks, yeah, is what we've got today.
Oh boy. Yep. Our favorite.
Yes. So, one of the classics.
Yeah, so this week's leak is from Raffle House. It sounds like Raffle House is a UK-based company, I think. Yeah, UK-based. It does weekly lotteries for people to offer a chance to win some prizes. And it sounds like they had a leak on June 7th of this year. Mm-hmm. Because of it looks like a misconfigured Amazon S3 bucket. So
wonderful.
They may not have been, securing it properly. One of those types of leaks. Mm-hmm. So MacKeeper was collaborating with security researcher Bob Diachenko to investigate and report this.
Okay.
So some types of data that were exposed is names, emails, phone numbers, well, some type of lottery statistics, mm-hmm, prizes, et cetera, et cetera. They say in total, 615 large files were exposed, featuring reports for hundreds of thousands of user details.
Wonderful. Yeah, that's good news. Like when I first looked at this, I saw that it said 615 files. I'm like, oh, well, that's not so bad. But that's like 615 different like lottery giveaway information instances, I think, is what that is. Like, yeah, 615 spreadsheets.
Spreadsheets, CSV so to say. Files.
So that's a very different size of data leak. So wonderful. So that's great. So if you've entered any giveaways in the UK, heads up. So we'll talk to Charlotte. It's fine. So, we have another a sort of PSA for people to be aware about. And this has to do with using Microsoft 365 or Office 365 or whatever. They've changed the name a couple of times now. But if you're using Microsoft's Office and email service, Microsoft themselves have seen fit to alert people to this particular issue.
Yes. So in this case, their security intelligence team issued a warning on Twitter to tell people to be on the lookout for an active phishing campaign targeting Office 365 users. We've talked about phishing before. It's just when you get this email that looks like it might be from a legit company like your bank, but then you click on the login button and it takes you to, again, a website that looks like it's from your bank, but it's actually not. And if you do log into that, it's going to steal your username and password.
Yeah.
So Microsoft says in this campaign, it's using a SharePoint file share request for documents with names like staff reports, bonuses, price books, etc. And as phishing goes, these contain a URL to a malicious web page that asks people to sign in with their Office 365 credentials. But Microsoft does say that Microsoft Defender for Office 365 does detect and block these emails. But still, just be on the lookout.
Yeah, this is definitely a heads up. We talked about this last week. part of what will make a phishing campaign effective is the social engineering piece of it. So, I've spoken with people recently who have had this issue of like this email looks weird because it looks like it came from the CEO. But it didn't actually, I know it didn't come from the CEO because the CEO doesn't write emails like this. And it was, I need you to do something for me. Please reply with your cell phone number so I can contact you, I think was what it was. Like, I need you to do something important for me or something like that. And, it's, and the name on it is the CEO, but the email address is totally not. So just like we told you last week, like, you need to be about 10% skeptical of stuff like that, because particularly like in this case, the person said that's not what email looks like when it comes from the CEO. So so it looked funny, and I wanted to see what was going on with that. And that's a lot of where the confusion can come from. And part of the phishing thing is, again, the social engineering piece, aside from being a little bit more targeted, like we're going to use this SharePoint file request, making sure that those sorts of things happen. So, always be a little bit, suspicious. Like we said last week, 10% skeptical. And, if somebody does want you to, upload a document or something like that, like, just go to your own SharePoint site or your own OneDrive or, whatever the login is they're trying to get you to use, go to that by hand yourself, and whatever it is that they need, that update should still be able to be there. So if you're worried about it at all, don't click the link in the email, just go log in yourself. And that's usually the easiest way to solve that. Same with the bank, right? The bank, generally, if you get an email from the bank that is legitimate, it won't have a, click here to log in it, because they know that looks suspicious. So, now, on the other hand, if your bank still is one of those banks that says, your password can only be a maximum of 8 characters, that's another story. But for the most part, like, if your bank is sending you some kind of alert, usually if you log in to the app or the website or however you log in to your bank to do all of your transacting, it will say in there, like, usually there's an alert section in there or a messages section in there that will say there's a problem, there's an issue, whatever it is you're trying to get a hold of. So generally, you don't have to worry about, like, click this link. Making it more convenient in that way is part of what can sometimes cause difficulty. Now, in Apple Mail on your computer, you can put the mouse on that link or on that button that says, click here to log in. And if you put the mouse there and wait, it will show you the URL. So if you bank with Bank of America and you go put your mouse on, log in now, and it says something that is not bankofamerica.com, you can tell pretty easily, like, that's not where I'm headed. And so that makes it also a pretty easy way to check. So definitely another thing to consider. We have another bit of news that I thought was pretty interesting. I saw this come by just this morning about the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency.
Yes,
which has a
from now on,
catchy,
we're just
catchy name.
Call them CISA.
Yes. I just wanted to make sure we got it all out there once. So
yeah,
we have some news from them.
We do. So a little background. The past few months, we've seen an increase in ransomware attacks. For example, in May, Colonial Pipeline reported that they had been infected with ransomware. So their operations were suspended for a bit. In response to that, DHS set up a security directive, which, among other things, it requires critical pipeline owners and operators to report confirmed and potential cybersecurity incidents to CISA. And now the update is, it sounds like they want to do something similar for cloud storage companies. Okay. So this initiative is called the Joint Cyber Defense Collaborative.
Okay.
Because it sounds like last in July, last month, a cloud provider called Kaseya was attacked by a Russian-linked group called Reval, who we've mentioned before. And so now the DHS wants all cloud providers and security firms to engage in the same kind of like information sharing. We think maybe this is a cybersecurity incident. So some of the participants will include Google, Amazon, Microsoft, and then some security companies such as FireEye and CrowdStrike Holdings. Oh, and also AT&T and Verizon.
They offer, and AT&T and Verizon, like, if you're wondering why not, you know, T-Mobile, this isn't mobile providing. So Verizon and AT&T both have huge company or divisions, I guess, devoted to business service and like running big fat internet pipelines to a building or to a server center. Like, if you know, those places where all the servers live that you see people talking about all the time. Every one of those servers needs a needs a hunk of internet all its own. And so when you use those, like, AT&T's who's running that great big pipe to the building, or Verizon is who's running it. And so those are the places that can also end up being weak points for various reasons. So it's good to have them in on this. The Google, Amazon, Microsoft piece makes a lot of sense. They all do a lot of cloud stuff. You know, Amazon, we just talked about an unsecured Amazon storage bucket, and that being a problem. So Amazon being in on this is great. Like, I think sometimes the other half of, I don't know if it's half, but the other piece of Amazon's business gets a little bit lost. You know, it they do more than just sell people stuff. So they have, you know, they have those the buckets and the cloud computing platforms that you can get. Like, now you can get Mac OS is one of those things that you can just sort of spin up a Mac in the cloud and use it for a while and then spin it back down again. So Amazon makes a lot of sense in this case. Google does a lot of storage with between Google Drive and the email stuff they do that's similar to Microsoft. So maybe you have a, you know, a Google domain or a Google Apps account, all the school stuff that happens in Google Classroom. So it makes sense for those things to be, for them to be in on this kind of conversation. So I'm curious to see where that's going to go. I'm hoping some good comes out of it, and that maybe some better defense actually gets set up, and, you know, maybe one of those companies will talk to them about getting a better name for all of this too. Who's to say? So that's gonna do it for news today. Now we have a practical tip, which is a brief practical tip, and B, a follow-up on a practical tip we've already given you. So take it away, Andrew.
So we saved the good news for last. So there's this tool called iAmazing. It's a really good piece of software. It backs up your iPhone and all of its contents to your Mac. And they recently announced this week that they Okay, so a little bit more background information. So we talked about last week, there was this thing called, or earlier this week, I don't know. But yeah. Pegasus spyware from NSO Group. It's used by governments to target certain people like journalists and political activists, people they think is a threat. Mm-hmm. The Amnesty International, there was another organization, they were the one who released their investigation, along with a tool called MVT, I think that's Mobile Verification Toolkit, mm-hmm. to help you detect if spyware, or if Pegasus is on your iPhone.
Yes.
The issue is that it's not super user-friendly.
It is not.
It's a command line.
Yes.
Yeah, but the good news is that there is now a user-friendly tool with iMazing. So what I like about it is that you don't have to have a paid account with them or a paid license. Mm-hmm. You just do the free trial like I did, and you just click a button and it'll do its thing. You'll have to type in your backup encryption password if you do have one of those. I think they do recommend it during the yeah. scanning and setup process.
I was gonna say you should have one. If you don't, you should. Let's
yeah.
Let's be clear. Yeah. But it will check for you, and this is a much easier way than I believe the old way was: open up a terminal window and type some things and do some stuff, and you could figure out if it would give your phone a clean bill of health or not. And
yeah.
this is just using iMazing to do it, I believe.
Yeah. And it doesn't take long. It took about 10 minutes. They do say, you know, they respect your iPhone's backup. You know, they're not sending any of that information to their own servers or anywhere else. Mm-hmm. They're just scanning for the specific files that are signs of Pegasus, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. And which is nice. And the thing I will say is you've probably heard about iMazing on the show before. I'm a huge fan personally. I use it mm-hmm. all the time. It just makes it much easier to back everything up that's on your phone. And it backs up a lot of stuff that your regular iCloud backup, or even if you plug it into your computer and let the Finder do it, or iTunes if you're not up to the latest. If you let those do the backups, you won't get all of the things. So when I talk to people who are like, I want to back up this voicemail message from somebody, iMazing is the way to do that. That's usually yep. the easiest. So,
Just real quick, yeah, I was scrolling through this again, iMazing's report, and they do say working with your encrypted backups does not require decryption of all backup files. So they only decrypt the files needed by their analyzer, and then they delete the encrypted copies immediately after their analysis.
Excellent. That's always, yeah, that's good news. And one thing I've always appreciated about iMazing is they're usually very clear about what they're doing and, you know, what's going to happen with it, you know, what it means if you check this box or uncheck this box. So that's another thing I like about them. As the family IT person, another reason iMazing comes in very handy is because I can just go, give me your phone, and I can just plug it in and go, I have a backup of your phone, you know, if anything goes wrong. Like in the old days when I saw my family more regularly than I do now, but it was a very nice way to be like, okay, I have a backup of your phone. And admittedly, for some of those people, that backup is still 100% valid because they don't ever change anything. But it works pretty well, and it's nice to just have that. You can also iterate backups, so this is something, Andrew, you should have a license for iMazing, because I know what a fan you are of beta season, and we're in beta Yay. Season right now. And so one thing you can do is go preserve your functioning iPhone in a backup, and then go do whatever crazy crap you're gonna do with it, and then come back and be like, okay, now I want to go back to having everything work like it did before. And you can just restore that you know, delete the beta profile off your phone, and when you go to roll back, you should be able to put that previous backup on your phone and make everything happy again. So
that's pretty good news.
Yeah, it's one of the it's another reason iMazing is just that good. When people get together in person, which may be something some folks who listen are familiar with, I always try to make sure if they're in the same place as me, I always try to make sure to find the iMazing guys and be like, hi, I just want to let you know again how much I appreciate the stuff that you make, because it makes my life so much easier. So it's always nice. That's going to do it for us today. I will tell you, as I tell you every week, if you have things you want us to talk about more, if there's a question you have that you want us to dig into a little bit and share the results with everybody, you can get us at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. So that's going to do it for us today. Thank you, Andrew, for being here. Have a great weekend, everyone. Be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.